apologies written otherwise. I have on my list Ndabane, Hanari, Majiwa, Zimande, NCOP, Muloi Moropa, Maine NCOP, sorry, and Zingile Tingan. Are there any other apologies? Yes, goodbye.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Apologies for both the Chief Whip and the Deputy. The Chief Whip is out of the country, the Deputy is out of the St. John's Wagon Patrol.
Okay. Speaker, Mrs. Judy Killian will be late. Okay. All right. Apologies have been tendered and they have been noted. Thank you very much. We then proceed to the consideration of the draft agenda. You have it in front of you. If you don't have it on your file, are you happy with the agenda as proposed? No objections, agreed to. Thank you very much. We'll then proceed with agenda item number 3. The draft minutes of the meeting of the 15th of March 2012. I hope you all have copies of the minutes. But let's just walk through the minutes quickly. We start with page 1, we check for correctness. Go on to page 2, anything to correct? No. Page 3 for correctness. And page 4 for correctness. Move on to page 5, nothing to correct. Page 6, we all seem to be still happy with that. Page 7 again for correctness. And page 8 for correctness. So that indicates that this is a true reflection of the meeting that took place on the 15th of March. Are we happy to endorse the minutes, adopt them as a true reflection? Moved and seconded. Moved and seconded. Thank you very much. Matters arising. Are there any matters arising? Yes.
Speaker, just a request for a progress report on the Joint Committee on HIV and AIDS.
A report. Okay, I hope somebody will report. Mr. Frolic, you will report on that.
Yes, Honourable Speaker.
Okay. Right, anything else? Okay, that's been noted as matters arising. Can we then move on to consideration of the report of the Task Team on Legislative Process? Who's going to walk us through that? You want to respond now?
Yes.
Oh, please do.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. Good morning, Honourable Members. In terms of the Joint Committee on HIV-AIDS, we do have a program for that committee. The meetings will take place on a Friday. The first meeting was due to be on the 4th of May, but due to the unavailability of the chairperson from the side of the NA, the meeting could not proceed, but I will distribute the program for all the committee meetings of that joint committee, Honourable Chairperson of the NCOP and Speaker, so that all political parties are aware of what is in front of that committee. If I also may, Honourable Speaker, also under a matter arising just to inform the Joint Rules Committee, a matter that appeared on page 2 of the minutes of the last meeting, the interim mechanism for the scrutiny of delegated legislation. The Joint Rules Committee instructed us to proceed for that committee to be convened without the smaller parties having nominated a representative. And indeed, the committee is proceeding and an orientation session will be held for members who are serving on that committee so that they understand the scope of the work. And we will keep a very close eye on its proceedings because it seemed to me it will be quite a busy committee, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Ms. Keller?
Sorry, just clarity. Honourable Florey Frolic, have the Joint Committee on HIV had their first meeting to choose the chairpersons? I just need clarity on that.
That was the meeting was that was supposed to take place on the 4th. It will take place on Friday the 11th, where the proposed program will also be adopted.
Okay, thank you very much. The matters arising, there are a number of issues here. I think one of them is establishment of the Joint Committee on the Security of Delegated Legislation. Honourable Frolic. Yes, Honourable Speaker, that is the one I've just referred to, where I said that the committee is proceeding. We do still wait for the smaller party to make that nomination, but in line with the decision of the last Joint Rules Committee, we're proceeding with the work of the committee, and an orientation session is being planned for the members who serve on the committee to understand the scope and the objectives of that committee. Thank you very much. There's also amendments of the Money Bills, Amendment Procedures and Related Matters Act. Who is going to talk to that one?
Speaker, yes, I think the process was that it would be a bill initiated by the Assembly itself, and there's a proposal that a motion will come before the House for such for the matter to be referred to the committee to initiate the amendment process.
Okay, then the decision that there should be a progress report that should be given to this meeting at its next sitting on the 31st of July. Agreed? Honourable Frolic.
Honourable Speaker, may I also just add to what the Secretary of the National Assembly have reported, that we had a look at the draft motion, and it just requires further discussion with the presiding officers before it goes to the houses for adoption.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, we have it. We then also have, I think, a report of the independent panel. Who's going to walk us through that one? Or have we done that already?
Yes, I think the last meeting it's only wanted the report to be distributed that Mrs. Keswa had presented. We will also be linking that later on in the agenda to the legislative process report. Some aspects of the independent panel report does link to the legislative process.
Good, thank you very much. Then there is also the issue of, yes, Advocate Masuta.
Yeah, can I just, following on Mr. Mansour's explanation, it's my understanding that the way in which that report can best be dealt with is not to deal with it holus bolus, but to deal with it piece by piece. In the sense that where it relates to a specific policy area, then that aspect of that report would then come to the fore. So, for example, where the report talks about the need for Parliament to adopt a review in legislative process, when that issue, when the task team report on that aspect is dealt with, then reference would be made to that panel report. Recommendations in regard to that aspect. I just thought I should add that to continue there.
That's been noted. Thank you very much, Advocate Masuta. We also have the issue of the appointment of Professor Mohammed. Are you going to talk to us, Stefan?
Yes, Speaker. As members would know by now, with interaction at this level, at the Joint Rules Committee level, and at the POA level, and at the many workshops and study tours that have taken place in respect of the Money Act, or the so-called Money Act, it has been agreed that there would be a secondment to Parliament for the purposes of establishing the Budget Office, making proposals in regard to the establishment of the Budget Office, and after negotiations, Professor Jahid has been seconded to Parliament for a period of 8 months to make proposals in regard to the establishment of the Budget Office. And Professor Jahid will
Thank you very much. That's 2-3 pages will be made available to all the members, so that at some point we will also have an opportunity to interact with Professor Jayant. The reason we went the route of a secondment is because this is a relatively new office. We don't want to go and advertise and then find that there are problems down the line. Professor Jayant has been with us in all the tours, and therefore he has a clear idea of how Parliament functions, what's required of him, and we are hoping that at the end of his secondment he will then be able to maybe advertise a position and get somebody full time. But for now we have Professor Jayant for 8-9 months. Any comments, questions? Judging by the look on your faces, all is clear. We will certainly have an opportunity to interact with Professor Giles once he's settled in. Can we then move on to the next item on the agenda, which is agenda item number 5. Who will be walking us through that one? Okay. Mr. Mansour, I'll give the background.
I'll just give the background, Speaker. The task team, the report of the task team on the legislative process, members would know, comes from the previous parliament. The report was done in 2008, so it's what we call the legacy item. At the Joint Rules Committee last year in March, it was agreed that the report of the task team would be referred to parties for consideration, and if required, the parties would engage with the drafters of the report to get clarity on issues. At the last meeting of the Joint Rules Committee, both presiding officers agreed that they would identify from the independent panel report the issues. So we've now got a link between, as Mr. Masuda said, the link between what's in the legislative process document, the report of the legislative process document, and the independent panel's report, and there is a lot of common factors in both reports. So while we deal with the legislative process at this meeting, we will be taking into account a lot of the aspects that are mentioned in the independent panel's report already. And so there's a strong link between those two documents. The report on the legislative process in Parliament, of course, covers areas with respect to the legislative process, the different stages, the language requirements, the committee procedures, the tagging of bills, mixed bills, the proposals, the legal advisory and drafting services for parliamentary committees. It goes a long way to talk to public participation in the legislative process, and it proposes, in the end, a legislative handbook. Of course, this is a document that comes from 2008, and there's been a lot of movement in the legislative process in terms of both our processes and maybe Constitutional Court rulings in this matter. So from 2008 to 2012 is a gap, but a lot of but the document was relevant at that stage in 2008, while we're going to a lot of legislative problems that we're trying to address.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mansour, are there any comments, questions of clarity? If not, then we... yes, Brigadier Mansour.
Just a small point from a rules review perspective, putting on my hat as the chair of the review of rules, to say that this is one of several policy areas upon finalization of which we would then be expected in terms of the overhauling of the rule book to then draft rules to give effect to. In fact, in this regard, there are already draft rules that are suggested in the document itself, so I'm just alerting that as soon as there's clarity on agreement on all aspects of the proposals in the policy document, we would then effectively be given a green light to actually actualize that in the federal government.
Okay, any other? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know. I also looked at the document. I think this is not the first time one sees the document. I think it was presented to Parliament some time back by the now Deputy Minister, I think Deputy Minister of Home Affairs. Again, when I look at it, really, it's not only about clarity on rules and amendments, but it touches on a number of areas which I think impact heavily on the empowerment process of empowering Mr. Speaker, it's not, to me, it's not only about just the clarity on just rules, amendments, and so on, which are there in the document. But when I look at it, I can see that it has to do largely with the need to empower members of Parliament about the whole legislative process, from where it begins and where it ends. I can also see there are gaps there also between a member of parliament and the constituency. How do you develop the bill? The bill, it says in the document, it specifies who develops the bill and the whole process, but it doesn't really say the source of the bill itself, which means that the bill has to emanate from the aspirations of the people, and so there's a gap there. That is why I personally was going to suggest that yes, it's a working document, but I think if we could handle it as we did with the national plan, where we just had a 2-day or a 1-day workshop with members of parliament, looking at the whole process, because I think there's a huge discourse around a number of these issues, even the rules that are being recommended there. So my suggestion would be, yes, I agree that it is a working document, but then could we specify that there should be a workshop on it, all members of parliament to look at it, at least a 1-day workshop where we could look at it and clarify some of the issues. Because to me, it has to do with empowering members and making the whole system efficient.
Thank you very much. That is a concrete proposal that we do need a 1-day workshop. It's very much work in progress. We've been working on these issues for quite a while now. And according to my notes, there's also a suggestion that the Chief Whips Forum held a meeting on the 3rd of May in order to reach consensus on the reports of the task team on the legislative process before it. And the Chief Whips Forum agreed to move for the adoption of the report and development of a guide document that would provide details on issues highlighted in the report. So there is already processes underway from the Chief Whips Forum, but the suggestion of a 1-day workshop also makes a lot of sense. Can we agree to that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir.
For clarity, Mr. Speaker, so we're not going to discuss the document now. Because once the Chief Whips Forum said we should finalise today, there are obviously points that the parties, certainly my party, would like to raise, and there are in some instances choices proposed by the task team, which I think we should take a decision on. So is the proposal before the House now that we have a workshop on this document and not finalise it today?
The proposal is that we do have a 1-day workshop. There is lack of clarity. Not everybody understands it the same way. And therefore, a 1-day workshop would certainly go a long way for us to have a common understanding of the issues in front of us. So we're not asking you to take a decision right now and here, but that the proposal is now carried that we have a 1-day workshop. Also, the issue of the consensus of the Chief Whips Forum suggests that the matter has been before the Chief Whips Forum,
and that they were proposing some proposals. If not, then we then go for the route of the one-day workshop. Are we happy with that?
Yeah, because the Chief Reform Forum took a basic decision, but didn't analyze the document.
Okay.
So the inference would be that the items that there are not clarity on, or as I say, some of the proposals are multiple choices, where one of, for instance, three choices on which bills have to be taken. And I think this you can't just adopt the document as it is without scrutinizing all those different aspects. So I'm in favor of that one.
Okay, can you confirm that we agree on the one-day workshop?
Agreed.
Thank you very much. Can we then move on to the next item on the agenda, which is agenda item number 6, I believe. Who is going to lead discussion on that one? Advocate Masuta.
Yes, Speaker, I was requested to give a brief background to the leave stock attendance policy that is included in the reference document. I suppose by virtue of the fact that in the last two parliaments I was given the task to be the convener of the task team that generated the document. I do not purport to go through the details of the document, which I think are fairly straightforward. And I also understand that the Chief Whip's Forum met this week to look at the issue, so hopefully somebody, because I wasn't part of that, would be able to give an update in that regard. But just to indicate that the concept started off as the need for Parliament to develop a policy on leave for members. And as matters proceeded, it became two distinct policy frameworks that must talk to each other. One would be an attendance policy in which the institution, that is, as per both houses, sets minimum standards that create obligations on members for attendance of parliamentary business, coupled with relevant sanctions where such standards are not upheld. But those sanctions would only kick in if a member's non-attendance was not authorized by or under a leave policy. That the leave policy, that a framework be adopted at the level of the institution that sets minimum norms and standards for leave, but that the actual leave policy be a party matter. In other words, each political party adopts a leave policy for its members and actually implements stroke and enforce it vis-a-vis its members, but which leave policy has actually been endorsed by the institution as being consistent with the framework that the institution would have adopted. So you'd have two distinct policies that talk to each other. Now, where do all of that come from? The Constitution in Section 47, the case of the NA, and there's a corresponding provision in the NCOP, prescribes that a member may lose membership of Parliament for non-attendance, subject to the rules. So it creates, in a sense, an expectation that each House would adopt rules that then define under what circumstances does a member lose their membership of Parliament for non-attendance, that is, without prior leave having been granted by the relevant House. The discussion went so far as to regulate attendance of members, both in relation to plenary sessions of the House as well as committee attendance. The sanctions range from, say, a fine of 500 rands, possibly for non-attendance of a certain number of committee meetings, all the way to possibly a day's salary if a person does not attend sittings or proceedings of the House for an X number of consecutive number of days, all the way to the maximum sanction of a member losing their seat for non-attendance for a period prescribed. So the issue really is going to be to look at whether it is reasonable in terms of the proposals that are being made, be it in relation to attendance of committees or attendance of respective houses. As far as the leave policy is concerned, the document outlines a number of types of leave that parties agreed would need to be considered in the leave policy of each party, which range from your sick leave, maternity leave, party work, personal leave. But there was also an overall principle agreed that members should be entitled to a fixed period of 30 days of annual leave, which should be provided for in the you know, the program of Parliament. So those are, in essence, the matters that the policy relates to, and I think what remains is for parties to engage with the proposals and make give an indication as to the appropriateness or otherwise. Under the interim constitution, there was a firm provision that said if you were not in attendance for a consecutive period of 20 days, you lost membership. Under the current constitution, as I said, the matter has been left for the rules to regulate, and this is where we are. There's also the Act that governs salaries of members, which provides for rules to determine circumstances under which members can forfeit their as part of their salary and benefits, which is the basis on which Parliament is able to impose sanctions in the form of fines for transgressions of different kinds under different policies of Parliament. So that, in essence, is the legal background and basis for the mandate to adopt a policy and subsequently rules to regulate this matter. So I think I'll pause there, and we'll be happy to clarify any questions relating to the content of the document before you have.
Thank you, Advocate Masuta. My question is, when are we going to move from a discussion document to actual policy by Parliament? This is the fourth Parliament. And maybe the first Parliament will discuss it, but we can't be discussing this for all the years. There should be a policy. What's holding up this process? I mean, we know the rules of Parliament, we know the Constitution, but what is holding up the process? Why don't we have a policy on this issue? I mean, it was referred to the Chief Whips Forum at some point, it's coming back to us. What's holding up this process? By when can we expect a decision on this matter? An open question. I mean, I'm really concerned. Yes, sir.
Chief, I don't know if you've got the speaker, if you've got the report by the Chief Whips Forum, but that was quite an extensive debate that took place there. And it's obvious disagreement from the parties on certain of the aspects, and I'm not going to go into that. My party has definite views on the proposals, and we couldn't reach consensus other than to say, if I remember correctly, without a document in front of me, that the Chief Whips Forum endorsed the need for a policy. That was the decision, but that because of all the differences, a mechanism should be found for parties to go and interact on this, not delay it again forever and ever, but to interact on this document, and then and that it should be finalized at the next meeting of the Joint Rules Committee. I mean finalized. That was the proposal. From my own point of view, I see the need for some interim meeting of either the Joint Rules Subcommittee on this item or with the drafters of the document. Because if all the parties present now within the next 2 months their final proposals or views on the document, I think something should happen between that before we come to the Joint Rules, unless we're prepared to have a long debate in the Joint Rules Committee. And that is the proposal from the Chief Whips Forum, as I remember it, that policy we must have and we must finalize at the next meeting of the Joint Rules Committee.
I quite like that by the next meeting of the Joint Rules Committee we'll take a final decision and we're not going to refer it to anybody anymore. And I think it could be quite embarrassing if the electorate knew that we don't have any policy on leave or any policy on this matter. It's quite, unusual for a parliament to operate for so many years without a policy, such an important policy. Can we agree that to the next meeting there will be a decision? In the interim, Honourable Kubai?
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Indeed, I want to concur with Honourable Watson. As per the discussion of the Chief Whips Forum. Further to that was the request that we need to look at having one policy, especially because there is an element of part of the work that is incorporated in the document from the NCOP side, so that by the time we come, the request from the Chief Whips Forum was that the team that is working on the document, if they can go and check if the correlation of what the NCOP has already passed is what would have, and they wanted a clarity in terms of once we adopt this, then what happens to the part, so that we have one leave standard policy for all MPs and for Parliament and not separate proposals for several houses. So that's what they requested. I thought I should highlight that. Thanks.
Yes, certainly. It's one Parliament, two houses, but one Parliament. We just have one leave policy, and that leave policy should be with us at the next meeting of this Joint Rules Committee for adoption. For adoption and implementation. Agreed? Agreed. Thank you very much. We then move. Yes,
I did in my little bit of input make the proposal that the task team or the portion of the task team on this policy should find a mechanism where the parties or representatives of the parties should get together to interact on this thing about the NCOP and the NA and the proposals of the party, so that we come with a final proposal to the Joint Rules Committee on the 31st of July. Is that possible to
Okay. I think it is possible. More than possible, we have to have it. Advocate Masuta.
Except for a small detail that the task team does not exist anymore. It generated the document. The document was referred to the Chief Whips Forum. How the Chief Whips Forum would then want to process it to make decisions on the policy proposals really is up to the Chief Whips Forum to decide. And I just wanted to avoid a situation where an assumption is made that a task team still exists. It existed in a previous parliament, and in any case, it finished it.
Why was the task team dissolved before it finished its work?
Well, it did finish its work, Speaker, because it submitted its report. I think that once the Chief Whips Forum has agreed and the Rules Committee has agreed, then the matter becomes for us as the Subcommittee on Review of Rules to actually draft rules to give effect to the policy, like any other policy that the Rules Committee adopts. But a task team called Task Team on Leave Policy does not exist anymore, unless it's recreated, which I don't think would necessarily be necessary.
Yes, Honourable Frolic.
No, Honourable Speaker, the Honourable Masuta is correct. In the last parliament, the committee completed its work, and at that stage it was also in front of the Chief Whips Forum. And the Chief Whips Forum agreed to the document in principle then. The unfortunate part is, since this document is celebrating its 12th year already of non-implementation and going to and fro from the Chief Whips Forum back to the Rules, Joint Rules Committee, and the personnel of parties change all the time, you find that there can never be finality on it. So we must simply, Honourable Speaker, say that any party who has specific proposals, they will have to raise those issues directly with the component within the Chief Whips Forum and try to get to some political agreement there, so that when they come to the next meeting, that they are clear in terms of what needs to be implemented. There was, I refer to the Honourable Van der Merwe, to a meeting in 2003 that we had, when the Honourable Douglas Gibson was the Chief Whip of the DA, where we also had intensive discussions on this. But never ever do we get to the point where it is adopted.
Thanks, Speaker. I would propose that this matter be referred to the Chief Whip's Forum. The Chief Whip can finalise on how they get a task team to finalise the instance, and therefore we get the final document on and for approval on the 31st of July. Since the task team does not exist, so the Chief Whip's Forum will have to put together its team to work on what proposals we have, finalise the document when we come here to have for decision on the 31st of July. That can be done. We are meeting tomorrow, so it's fine. We can be able to do that.
Thank you very much. The only problem is that the Chief Whip's Forum is a big problem itself. That's why we don't have a document. But I saw a couple of hands in the back. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sorry, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Chief Whip. Speaker.
Once Chief Whip, always a Chief Whip.
Yes, you were my Chief Whip in the olden days. Speaker, I will agree with you. Let us take a decision in this meeting. If this proposal is not tabled, then the presiding officers will take a decision to implement this thing. This thing can't go on forever. We must have rules and regulations. That's my concrete proposal. If that thing is not there in our next meeting, the presiding officers will take a decision.
Honorable Van der Merwe.
Speaker, with respect, I think my dear colleague from Kroonstad is overkilling. Let us agree with Mrs. Kubai that the matter is referred to the Chief Whips, and the Chief Whip must have a structure in place and discuss everything and then present on the 31st of July. We don't have to, Dennis, we don't have to have a guillotine on the on Mr. Matole's head for this. We'll do it in the Chief Whip Forum.
Okay. Chief Whip of the NCOP.
Thank you, Speaker. No, the only problem is if you involve it. Because in the next meeting, we'll raise concerns. Quiet today, but in the next meeting, we will not decide.
I'm actually looking for concrete suggestions now. Watson.
Sorry, I didn't hear what the Chief of the NCOP said, so maybe I'm repeating. But the Chief of Forum is the Chief of Forum for the NI. And it was agreed that this document is a document dealing with Parliament. So I would strongly recommend that we revive the task team and that the task team gets the inputs. It's no good we all come here on the 31st of July with varying inputs and we can't get consensus on it. That's why my proposal is, I didn't realize the task team's life has expired, I'm just wondering if this body doesn't have the power to revive a task team which includes both houses of parliament and that we have an interim meeting before the 31st of July to get consensus on a proposal to bring to this committee, not to waste the time of the joint rules.
Okay, there is a concrete proposal that we need to revive the task team, and also what I'm trying to figure out in my mind is, why do we have a task team only of the NA when we're dealing with a document of this nature which combines both houses?
shouldn't we, for the purpose of this project, establish a chiefest forum that includes both houses of parliament, not just one house, both houses of parliament? Can we agree to do that? Okay, agreed to. Mr. Mansour.
Yes, if you're going for a task, I don't, the word revive might not be appropriate. A lot of members might not be here that way as a previous task team. If you're going for a task team route, I think we need clarity on the composition of the task team, the numbers of the task team. However, you do have a structure called the subcommittee of the joint rules committee that includes both houses. And whether you're to make that small, it's already small. I don't know what the number is. It's already about 8 to 10 members only.
Mm.
And if we look at a task team, we'll have to look at a proposal very quickly in respect of the composition of that task team, number one.
Deputy. Deputy Chair of the NCOP.
I thought we had reached consensus that this should be dealt with the Chief Whip Forum, which is a joint Chief Whip. No.
Not the current one, in any case. Mr. Mansour.
Yes, Speaker, in terms of the governance structure, the Deputy Chair is quite correct. In terms of the governance structure, there is a Chief Whip's Forum, a joint Chief Whip's Forum. It's called a joint. It has never been functional. I don't think, I think they had one meeting maybe. But there is a structure called the Joint Chief Whip's Forum.
Advocate Masuta.
You see, Speaker, if I may, please back the House. Task teams are technical structures. The matters before the House are political stroke policy questions. The actual underlying work has been done. All that needs to happen is policy choices to be made. And a task team cannot, on behalf of leadership, prefer policy choices. So I would really, if people who served in the task team are roped in to give presentations and to explain issues, would be more than happy to provide that support. But at the end of the day, it's about policy choices that must be made, and I don't think a technical group of people is best suited to do that. So if the Chief Whips can meet from both houses and resolve the issues, it will make the work of us, the technocrats, a lot easier. Thank you, Speaker.
Thank you very much. Before I give the floor to Chairperson Masangu, can we also agree to revive the Joint Chief Whips Forum, especially for this issue? We revive the Joint Chief Whips Forum.
Speaker, thank you very much. You've hit the nail on the head. I think the decision has been long taken, actually. The correct thing would be, because we're dealing with joint rules, therefore both houses have got to be there. Therefore, the correct structure to deal with this, as Mike is saying, would be a joint Chief Whips Forum. And then they deal with this and they present a report. And not just a report, but final report, the next sitting of this Joint Rules Committee. And we start agreeing that, approve it, and implement it. That's all what we should do.
Okay, but we still agree that the technical issues need also to be looked at. So we are not going to do away with the idea. We still need technical people. The political decision will be taken by the forum, but we need the technical support. Okay, can we agree? Okay. Thank you very much. Move on to the last part on the agenda. Is there anything that you'd like to add? Any other matter? If not, with your permission, I'd like to hold on.
Sir, just a reminder, the next Joint Rules Committee meeting is scheduled for 31 July of this year. Remember, we sent out in February 4 meetings on Joint Rules Committee for this year, so the next one is on the 31st of July.
Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.